RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome into the firm of Harris and Meringue. The Meringue man not here today. Somebody had to show up and do their job for once in their life. Sounds like nobody else is doing their job today, Rusty, but you and I are here.
We're here.
Shout out to the Sunrise guys this morning with Rashad and Joe for bringing us in the morning. Swag doing the heavy lifting on the morning show. All that jazz. We're happy to be with you. Rusty, I've missed you.
Yeah, feels like it's been forever, huh?
I took the whole week off, and I absolutely, like, removed myself from our program.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good time to just stop for a minute,
yep.
Reset. Get the juices going. I watch a ton of sports, though. You know, you can't quite turn that off.
Right.
But I tried to have a nice moment to just kind of relax and just let things kind of carry themselves. I'm happy to be back. I have missed this job. I love this job. Danny will be back on Wednesday. We'll be here together Wednesday. We have Thursday off. We'll be here back on Friday. Something's going on Thursday. I don't know. Oh, the Rose Bowl. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's it. That's the one. That's the big one.
You know,
it's the granddaddy of them all.
You know, I spent my entire life. I always talk about this. And if you listen to this show, if this is your first time, hello, welcome. I'm Patrick. It's nice to have you. I've talked about this a lot. New Year's Eve, we'd do something when I was a kid. But New Year's Day, my parents used to always saddle us up, put us in the car. We'd drive over to my grandmother's house. We'd watch the Rose Bowl parade, and then we'd watch the Rose Bowl game and root for anyone in the Pac-12, Pac-10 that was playing, except for the Huskies.
Right.
And so the Rose Bowl was a tradition, unlike any other, as I believe Keith Jackson used to say, the granddaddy of them all, as he used to also say. And
Nelly.
And fumble. And I used to watch that game religiously, and I still do to this day because I'm very excited that it is still somewhat a tradition. Like, there is a Big Ten team in the game this year. I think the Rose Bowl one year was Georgia and Oklahoma. I think that's Baker Mayfield. And I was very not okay with that. It was a great game.
Yeah, but that just don't feel right.
But it just don't feel right. So at least I get that. Oh, right. Ducks play in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Glad I remembered.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep my eyes on all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and kind of, you know, I heard Joe talking this morning, and I totally get it. The time off in between games makes things a little difficult. I totally understand that. But I kind of like during the holidays of being a little chance to relax and kind of slow down for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
How was your holiday?
Yeah, not bad. You know, my parents live just a couple miles up the road. So Christmas Eve is like the big get together in the Rust fam, has been forever.
The Harris family is the 23rd.
Gotcha.
That's when I go over to my mother's. Mm-hmm. We do that on the 23rd. It's also my sister's birthday. Poor her.
Right?
She gets like an extra present.
Yeah.
but I'm in the same boat as you. We got kids. So it's all about the kids.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's all about making sure the kids have a good time. And so funny, my wife and I were trying to figure out. So my kids, they got a ton of people that buy gifts for them.
Yes.
It's, you know, there's, you add my parents, and then there's, she and her husband are split. So they've got dad and mom,
mm-hmm.
Then my wife's parents, they are split, So there's two families there. Then you've got dad's parents. Then you've got aunts and uncles and things like this. And everybody all of a sudden wants to get them gifts.
Yeah.
Well, they're always asking us, what should we get them? What, any ideas? We're wrapping presents. And it's like 1:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And we're going, oh, no. I don't think we have enough gifts. Not only do I don't think we have enough, I don't think we have quality. We think we gave all our good ideas away.
Oh, man.
We are stressed. We are stressed beyond belief. And then at about 10 o'clock, those kids, they were the happiest kids in the world.
I bet.
We nailed it. We got lucky.
Excellent. Yeah, I decided to, this year, I went and bought the kids Switch 2.
Oh, that's the big gift in the Rust.
Sorry, I shouldn't say
that. In the Rust family.
Yes. Yeah, so that was fun. We got the old the Mario Kart and the new Donkey Kong game.
You know, I heard the new Donkey Kong game is supposed to be the bee's knees.
That's what I heard from old YouTube Jake out there.
Oh, really?
So that's what made me go that direction, yeah.
I think I saw something that came across my timeline that was like, I don't know if it's because I've spent, 250 hours playing this game already, but this might be the greatest game I've ever played. My youngest, he is trying to save money.
Uh-huh.
I told him, if you save $250, I will throw in the other $250. And we'll get a Switch too.
There we go.
Knowing he would never get there.
Right.
That little master, he's got $217.
I was going to say, he didn't pull the old SpongeBob. It's like, I have $3.
Yes, that's what I thought he was going to do. But no, he's got $217.
Hey.
He's not far away.
Closing in on it.
God.
He's about to find out if your word is worth any salt.
But I'm kind of okay if he gets it, because then that means I get my Switch back.
Because
the Switch 1 is mine that I've let the kids play with,
gotcha.
And it has now become theirs.
Gotcha.
Chumps. At least I got my stereo system. They can't do anything about that. I don't have New Year's plans this year. Do you have New Year's plans?
I will be here from about 8:30 until probably 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve.
Dang it. We talked about that before the show, and
yeah.
I should not have brought it up again.
Yeah, so it's okay. I'm not sour or anything. And then our lovely pregame coverage begins at 6 a.m. on New Year's Day, so super stoked for that.
Oh,
super stoked. Oh,
dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get a great gift that you were just absolutely stoked about?
What did I get? You know, it's all a blur because I was just kind of watching what the kids were opening and
totally,
stuff.
Totally.
Yeah. I know another one that we nailed for my eighth grader, though. We got her a new guitar. Because last year we got her, she said she wanted to learn the guitar. So we just kind of went and got like a $50 special at Target, you know.
The last thing you want to do is spend $200 on a guitar that gets played twice.
Right. Exactly. So we did that, see if she's going to stick with it. And she did. And so, yeah, we got her a new guitar. And she sat there just beaming from ear to ear all Christmas Day. She's like, I can't believe you guys did this. It's so awesome. So then it made her little sister also happy because now she gets the hand-me-down guitar.
Yeah. My oldest got a mannequin that she can like put clothes on and like dress herself basically and see it from afar.
Right.
My wife has one of those, so now she feels she's a lot like mom.
Gotcha.
So that was a big deal for her.
There we go.
And my youngest, he loves Legos, but he doesn't like to build them. So I built this really cool Avengers Endgame scene.
Oh, okay.
With like all the like time travel portals from Doctor Strange with like a bunch of characters. It only took me 3.5 hours to do 600 pieces.
Oh, man.
But I did it while watching Sunday Night Football in Blazers. So I was like, hey, this is kind of a nice way to pass the time. And yeah. It looks super dope.
Yeah. My 9-year-old, she loves Legos too. But she also is one. She'll sit down and try to start on her own and be like, Dad, I need some help. So it winds up me sitting with her and we do it together. And that's fine because that's what they're supposed to be, right? But yeah, we got her the Galactus from Fantastic Four.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. Oh, good movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The wife and I keep talking about needing to see it. I just haven't caught it yet.
It's a good one. I think it's already out there on the Disney Plus for free.
I do love me some Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't these days?
Right? Everybody loves him some Pedro Pascal.
I wanted to get my bestie for his birthday a giant like poster of him in a sexy pose because I think he would have really loved that.
I think that either that or just the one from the meme from that movie with Nick Cage where he's driving the car and just smiling.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That'd be a fantastic one
too.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal would be a good spirit animal to like model yourself after.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I read a great comment from him, and from an actor standpoint, I just massively respect it. He tries desperately not to have on-air love interests.
Okay.
Because he has realized that he is attracted to both the hetero and homosexual community.
Gotcha.
And he wants to be able to keep his parts open.
Okay.
Like, he can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not like... like Tom Holland, you know, all the girls are like, oh, Tom Holland, right. You know, he might not transfer over. But Pascal's like, no way, dude. No way. I'm here for anything. Because when we found him as the Viper in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And even though he had like hot ladies with him all the time, you could tell he played for the other team too. And smart as an actor, dude. You got to keep yourself open and right. versatile.
Absolutely.
It's like here, man. We try to watch basketball and baseball and football, college football. Can we count college football and NFL as two different sports?
I mean, while they're both football, they are very different. And, you know, a lot of time, the best or most successful college players do not translate to the NFL.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, we have Heisman Trophy winners that were, like, not drafted.
Yeah.
Jason White, I'm looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eric Crouch was drafted, but I'm not sure. I think it was, like, really late. But nobody thought he was going to be a quarterback.
Let's see here.
Man, Eric Crouch.
No, I think because he got drafted, I want to say, as a defensive back.
As a DB?
Yeah.
Wow. I do. I will always remember that Eric
Could
Crouch.
Be wrong, though, too.
That Eric Crouch touchdown he caught. What his season is that? That's like 96 or something. He like ran a wheel route and caught this long bomb for a touchdown, and it was like, ooh, that guy's going to win the Heisman. Back when Nebraska actually mattered.
Third round pick in 2002.
Third round?
Yeah.
Shame on me.
By the Rams. Played for the Packers. Let's see here. Practice squad. Packers practice squad. Chiefs practice squad. And then you're heading overseas to the Hamburg Sea Devils and the, well, Toronto, clearly not overseas, but yeah. Toronto Argonauts. The Omaha Nighthawks. Good times.
Yeah, some of the best college players. And then you look around the NFL and then so many of the great players went to like places I never even heard of. Joe Flacco's a lead. He played at Delaware. I didn't even know they had a team.
Right?
As Jake Taylor in Major League says, yeah, we got uniforms and everything.
Oh, I misspoke. He wasn't drafted as a cornerback, but as a wide receiver.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was wide receiver.
Still wanted to play quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be tough, dude, if you're getting drafted by a team and, you know, it's like, hey, man, I really want to play this position. And they're like, hey, man, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give that up, but you still want to play. It's got to be tough.
Right.
It's like Aaron Rodgers always yelling at somebody on the sidelines. Like, bro, you're old, man. Shut up. I get it, man. You know what you're doing. You're a Hall of Famer. Bonafide Hall of Famer. Maybe the best gifted athlete I've ever seen play quarterback. But like, dude, man, you old as me. You know?
Right?
I got two people in this world that tell me what to do in my life. The wife and the brand man. All right? I just gave it up. You tell me what to do. I'm just here for S's and G's, you know? Candied nuts, you know? That's what I'm here for. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I'm here for a good time. If it happens to be a long time, that'd be fantastic.
Great.
Oakley Doakley, we got a show for you all today. We're going to have a lot of fun in today's show. Things could get a little wild here for a moment.
Expect the unexpected.
I will tease at noon. We'll have Jeremiah Coughlin join the show for the hour as he's got a new stand-up special coming or a stand-up show coming down the tube. He will also be on with Luke Anderson in the Fan Happy Hour. So he'll sit with us for an hour at noon to talk a little bit of sports. I've got a great surprise guest for you at 11 o'clock. That should be some fun. We'll chat a little bit about the business and what it's like when you enter the business, and I'm very, very excited for you all to get into that. But we do have a lot to get to, and I'll tease you all this. I will talk a little baseball with the World Baseball Classic roster shaping up. We will get to Kyle Whittingham in the 11 o'clock hour, the big nooner. We'll hit some Blazers, Sunday Night Football for the books. We'll have some fun, plus web gems as well. When we come back, the Oregon Ducks have handled business against James Madison, and they get ready to take on Texas Tech. We'll be going after that game all week here on The Fan, as everybody else will. But we'll start with kind of the pickup from my world after the James Madison game and what to start doing looking forward to Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl on Thursday. We'll do that next. This is The Firm on 105.1 The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
10:17 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. Also, shout out to the YouTubes out there. YouTube.com/1051. The Fan. We're happy to have you on famously known as Dead Week here at The Fan. You know, not as many people got to work. This is the week of the year where people are just kind of like, nobody really knows what happens this week. It's just kind of the void, and we just kind of hang out and do what we got to do. And it ain't so bad. It ain't so bad.
There's worse things to do.
There are worse things to do. I'm happy to be here. I had all these plans to do around the house over the break, and I did zero of them. So it's kind of nice to, today I feel like I'm accomplishing something.
Yeah, I did also did zero of them, but I got nagged the crap out of for...
And I was shocked that I was not nagged the crap out of for it. You know, the wife and I both agreed that leading up to Christmas was a bitch. And she was a fickle, fickle one. And yes, we are okay that we survived it. Let's see. Ducks are going to take on Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl, the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. Come watch the Ducks and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl with The Fan at Grand Central Bowl Arcade and Sports Bar on New Year's Day. Doors open early for the 9 a.m. kick. Food and drink specials throughout the day. Stick around after for the Dick Hanna Dealership post-game scoreboard with Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz, live from Grand Central. For more details, head to the events page at 1051thefan.com. Before we get to the Orange Bowl, though, let's figure out how the hell we got here. The Oregon Ducks took on JMU and final score of 51-34. And oh boy, let me tell you, that was not really indicative of the game itself. 34-6 at halftime. Look, I listened to some stuff. You know, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague on the 22nd, I believe, to hear their kind of thoughts on the game. I caught a little of Danny's thoughts as well during the firm. And I think that if I'm being honest, and maybe some separation of time really helps this, I think there's a lot of overreaction to how Oregon's defense played in the second half and how the offense kind of stalled out in the fourth quarter. That game was really out of hand. I can't help but think that there's a little bit of a gambling aspect that pisses people off in this game.
Oh, I mean that old backdoor cover?
Yeah, I never once ever thought that James Madison was going to come back in this game. And I know a lot of people like to say, and a lot of you Duck fans out there, you know, you still want to see next guy up mentality. You still want to see that even though they are backups in there, even those backups should be better than the starters on JMU. I hear all that. Yeah. And I don't think you're necessarily wrong about that. But I also think it's get out of there, get some reps in, look as best you can, and say adios and move on to the next round.
I think what a lot of it is, though, is that because with what, a couple minutes left in the third quarter, it was a 48-13 game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, yes, at that point, it was a blowout, and it still basically technically, you know, remained a blowout. But it's one of those things where you want to see them not take the foot off the gas. You don't want to see those defensive lapses. So I guarantee you that one head coach Dan Lanning was none too happy about what he saw, you know, that end of the third quarter and end of the fourth quarter. And I'm sure he found plenty of stuff on tape to point out.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt, there's a ton of stuff. I was kind of looking at some team stats here. There's a ton of stuff that they're going to want to shore up. Obviously Third down efficiency, they were only 3 of 7. But let me argue, excuse me, there's only 7 third downs in the game. You know, Oregon's offense was that efficient that they didn't need to rely on being good on fourth down. They held JMU to 9 of 22. That's excellent.
Their first three touchdown drives, a total of 12 plays.
Yes.
Yes.
And Dante looked great.
He sure did.
Malik Benson, what up, dude?
He threw 2 interceptions.
I'll get to that. Let's get to that, okay? Dante threw 2 picks. One's tipped, so one I'll kind of erase.
Yeah.
The other's a throw that Dante wants back. Yes. I agree. But I still have to believe that the mentality going into this game was kind of what I wanted it to be a little bit. Let Dante throw the ball. I want to see him have to throw the ball because they might have to do that against Texas Tech. I love that defense of Texas Tech, especially that linebacking core, and that's going to be the key. You know, what do we talk about with USC? It was Oregon's defense versus USC's offense. Mm-hmm. But we were actually like, no, the story is really going to be Oregon's offense versus USC's defense.
Yeah.
And I think we might have that same parallel against Texas Tech. So you're right. There are some things that need to be shored up. Dante, don't make that bad throw. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
The 2 turnovers make things suck. 5 penalties for 71 yards. You know that chaps Dan Lanning's ass. You know he is not happy
about
that.
Well, but at least it's not one of those 10, 11 penalty games, you know, where you're getting 100-plus yards racked up.
Without a doubt. And look, Dante, 19 of 27 for 313 yards and 4 TDs. Okay, 2 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really worried about that. Jordan Davison took the heavy load on the run game again. 90 yards, 10 carries. Had a big one for 30. Like, I'm into that. I caution Duck fans heavily, and please correct me if I'm wrong, 503-864-6326 or over on the YouTube chat. I understand wanting your team to just go in and, like you said, Rusty, put your foot on the throat in the fourth quarter and really run away with it.
And don't take your foot off until that final horn.
I'm not worried about that. I'm really not. If this is the final score of the Texas Tech game, do you think people are freaking out about that?
Well, no, but you have different expectations for Texas Tech against Oregon. You know, they're much closer talent-wise, and both being P4 schools, obviously, clearly, too.
We talk a lot on this program about the NFL and how the NFL doesn't need style points. And college football, you need style points. But at this point, those style points go out the door. You need style points to affect your ranking, affect your seeding in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You need that, definitely. In these games, dude, who the hell cares? Just go out and win.
I think it's not so much about the style points at this point, though, as it is about some of the maybe worrisome things that you saw in that fourth quarter and late in the third quarter against JMU.
But if I take away late in the third quarter and I take away the fourth quarter, what are you concerned about as a Duck fan?
Well, but that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that we can't
that
just
can't,
take away.
I can't that just part. Take away.
Yeah. I mean, sure, you can separate them and say, look how fantastic we were for the first 2.5 quarters. And then how did that not translate and keep up for the final quarter and a half?
Did it feel like Duck fans were disappointed in how that game went?
I think in the way it ended.
Mm.
Like I said, I think you had 2.5 quarters there or so. You know, they were very pleased with what they were seeing.
And I think that's what it was. I mean, come, what was it, 48-13?
Mm-hmm.
At 48-13, dude, I am checked out. I was checked out before then.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm checking out now, I don't have as much at stake. I am not a fan, as much as Danny likes to say, I'm a closet Duck honk. I don't have as much invested as some of you diehards might. 48-13, I'm checked out. I watched my Cougs play in a bowl game, and they went up big, and I was like, see ya. Because sometimes that's just how games work. And maybe I need to address how I watch college football a little differently if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, so let's see here. Yeah. When Oregon scored to make it 48-13, that was basically midway through the third. And then you had 2 consecutive touchdowns. One right before the end of the third by JMU and one with 10 and a half minutes left. And that closed it to 48-26. Oregon tacks on a field goal. And then you get that, you know, backdoor cover with a minute left in the fourth. So it's, you know, I think what they're the least pleased about is that stretch from 1:15 in the third where JMU got that first touchdown to make it 48-20, that through the next touchdown, and then with Oregon only managing that field goal to make it 51 rather than, you know, finding the end zone.
I'm not worried. I think that's what I would say to you Duck fans out there. I mean, it's tough when it's your fandom and it's, you know, it's kind of your everything. College football is born and bred to be emotional and to be kind of, you know, what we get up for. We get up for it more than NFL. You know, I mean, I know there's NFL fans out there that don't really care about college football, and I get that. But those of us college football diehards, this is everything for us because it's our blood. You know, it's like I bleed crimson, and I always will.
Yeah.
But I would caution Duck fans to not worry about it because Texas Tech is going to be a lot harder game. I agree. But I think you're gonna have a lot of the same quote unquote challenges that you did against James Madison that turned out to not be really challenges. Look, Baron Morton is a fine quarterback for Texas Tech. And we'll get into that game all throughout the week and chat about what Texas Tech brings to the table and how Oregon's gonna, you know, attack that. I will say this early. I like Oregon in this game. I really do. I'm not the biggest Baron Morton guy in the world, but I do love Texas Tech's linebacking core. But if Oregon can have that balanced act, DeCorian Moore looked like he can run on the field. I know he didn't have many targets and didn't have much action, but he played on the field. That's huge for me. And Malik Benson has said, no DeCorian Moore, no Gary Bryant Jr. Cool. I'll be the guy. And he's been the guy.
What I tell you it's, what, though.
They're just so deep.
Who looked fantastic out there, and it looked like every time he touched the ball, he was going to bust it for six, was De'Aaron Hill.
Without a doubt. There you go. The dynamic from Oregon, and that's why as we lead up to this Tech game, you're going to find that I'm going to lean Texas Tech more. Mm-hmm. I just think they're still so damn dynamic anywhere on the field.
And what helps is that Oregon, and especially that receiving core that was so depleted, got/getting healthy at the right time of year.
So remember, we have all the coverage right here on The Fan. Start at 6 a.m. on January 1st on New Year's Day, 6 a.m. for an hour here. And then we'll turn it over to Jerry and Jorgie and Mr. Hara for the pregame. Game kick at 9 right here on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 The Fan, FM 1080 AM. There'll be a postgame show again at Grand Central Bowl after the game as well. Big game. We'll talk about it all week. But when we come back, let's slide over to the NFL. And boys, sometimes when it falls apart bad. Turnovers, cliffs, the whole shebang. We'll get to the NFL next. But first, there's Rust with Sports.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 15 minutes, I will get into a little bit of baseball because it's me and I get to. Got a great surprise for you in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Michigan. Pascal Siakam is our web gems today. And Jeremiah Coughlin will join us in the big nooner. We'll talk a little Blazers and some NFL as well. But I wanted to start a little bit in the NFL, something that's kind of a late tie over. I believe this game was on Saturday. But let's see, I wrote here in my show prep for this, I wrote the fall from grace and 6 turnovers.
That's a lot, Bob.
And I was incorrect about 6 turnovers. It's actually 9 turnovers. And I am talking about the Detroit Lions. I'm talking about Jared Goff specifically. Jared Goff in his last 2 elimination games, which would be this last weekend against the Vikings and last year in the divisional round versus the Commanders, He has 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 4 fumbles lost, and 7 sacks taken.
Yeesh.
This is where the criticism, the concern of Jared Goff comes in. And before we really get into it, you know, I've never really known what to think about Goff. I always thought he needed the right situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly what McVay asked for in an offense, either Goff was too young and not ready or just doesn't have the skills for. He landed on his feet in Detroit, and everything for the most part in Detroit started to look like it was going in the right direction. Dan Campbell really changed the identity of that whole situation there, got them to believe they are winners, got Jared Goff to play at a high level. And look, that Commanders team last year, they were on a heater. Okay, so I'm not too worried about his elimination game. I feel the same way about Sam Darnold in the playoffs last year. Well, I'm not really, okay, he had a bad game.
Yeah.
If you do keep doing that, then I got a problem.
Right.
And that may be where Jared Goff walks in here.
See, well, guys like Jared Goff and guys like Sam Darnold, maybe it's not fair to put those two together. excuse me. We talked a bit, I think it was last week, too, in has there ever been a trade where it worked out so well, so beneficially for both teams in terms of the Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff trade? You know what I mean?
Right.
And for a while, it seemed like, and not that because of what, you know, one game where he committed 5 turnovers, but, you know, maybe we're he's peeking his head out a little bit again, that old turtle head. For the longest time, it seemed like it was going well. And like you said, they ran into a buzzsaw with the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing maybe, you know, how much the coordinators had a play in things, much like we saw with or seeing with Liam Cohen leaving Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay and how much Trevor Lawrence now is kind of having a bit of a renaissance under him.
Caleb Williams. I've always been a big struggle on Caleb Williams, and Ben Johnson has made him a solid quarterback. He doesn't need that much yards to be the first 4,000-yard passer in Bears history.
Yeah, but still, even with Caleb Williams, he still has – he's got some of those Jared Goff, Matthew – or Sam Darnold moments.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I think it's tough to say. We all laughed at Matt Campbell when he first got – or at Dan Campbell, excuse me, when he first got hired there.
Mm-hmm.
We all laughed about the kneecaps and stuff, but boy, he changed that culture around real quick.
Real quick.
And I think that culture still exists despite them falling apart this year. Look, they've had injuries, sure. That offensive line has been not very good, and I think that's kind of where a lot of it settles for me. It's really easy to sit here and say that quarterbacks are really good when they have a good offensive line. You know, Tom's is the best. Tom's Braids is the best of all time, but boy, those O-lines were good for 20 years.
Yes, they certainly
were. And when the Patriots weren't good, those offensive lines weren't very good.
Right.
So it's easy for me to sit here and say that, yeah, the Lions have some issues on their offensive line, but Penei Sewell's a pro bowler. He's an all-pro lineman. And to know you have one stalwart there, but the rest of it can't kind of figure it out, that's a really tough mode there. And that's where I want to try to give Jared Goff a little bit of credit that it is situational fit to the YouTuber that points out it's crazy to think that the Lions would have been better off if they stayed on the Stafford train. They would have, but Stafford's not better off for it.
Right.
Jared Goff's not better off for it, to your point. That trade, they both won that trade.
Yeah. And even if they don't make that trade, that doesn't automatically mean that Matthew Stafford is staying in Detroit and winning the Super Bowl there.
Totally.
You know?
And that doesn't mean that Jared Goff figures it out in L.A. and they go back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's just fit. I think the clock does start a little on Jared Goff, though. You know, I'll give you the free pass in the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vikings, that defense did whatever they wanted against Detroit.
Yeah.
And losing the coordinators that you did. I had this side moment that I laughed hysterically when I was watching the Lions game. I did not know that, like, the passing game coordinator, he's the wide receivers coach, I can't remember, is David Shaw, the old Stanford coach.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the TV, and it was Dan Campbell, and then in crept in from the side, David Shaw, and I was like, hey, it was Leo DiCaprio meme. I go, hey, I know that guy.
I know that guy.
I know that guy. And I think that's just kind of, they're going to have some big soul searching in this offseason, I think. They are eliminated. They are done for good in this season, and they're going to have to really think about it. And I don't know if it is a personnel situation. Aiden Hutchinson is, by all accounts, very great.
Mm-hmm.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, by all accounts, very, very good. Jahmyr Gibbs, stop fumbling the football, and you might lose Montgomery. So we'll see if they need a personnel change, if they need a coaching change, or if they need both. Because, boy, that division, I don't know what Minnesota's going to do at quarterback, but that division, all those teams have really, really big strength somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And this pointing on the text line here, too, it's not just losing the coordinator, but losing Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
That hurts him, too. Took a lot off of Goff's plate when it came to setting up the line against blitzes and disguises, and that's not there now. It's all on Goff, and defenses are realizing that. That comes from Jordan.
And Frank tried to come back, and he couldn't because he wasn't medically cleared.
Yeah.
So the window in football can be short. It can be long. You know, the Chiefs' window has been pretty long.
Yeah.
The Warriors' window was pretty long in the NBA. The Patriots' window was damn near 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have big windows, but more often than not, you got small windows.
Three,
maybe four if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. And if you have a five-year window, it's because you're either the Bills, who went to four straight Super Bowls and lost, or you've won a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the door can slam.
Yes, it can.
And it's not very pretty when it does.
No.
And you start pointing fingers, and you start wondering who is there and who is not, and how this is all going to shake out. And it makes you real ginchy inside. I feel for Lions fans, because all of a sudden you went from absolutely nothing, maybe the worst franchise in the NFL. Maybe the Cleveland Browns might have an argument with it, or the Jets might have. But the Jets have a Super Bowl last time I checked.
Yep.
And When you pull yourself out of that ashes, when you pull yourself out of the ashes and the phoenix rises, and then you realize it was all for nothing, that gets tough.
Yeah.
That gets tough.
Blazer fans know how that goes.
Blazer fans know how that goes. No playoffs in 5 years, that'll do it for you.
Get to the pinnacle and have the rug ripped out from under you.
Did you see, side note on the Blazers, did you see that Scotty and Rasheed did not show up for the 99
huh?
reunion? No. Well, or 98 reunion. Look, yeah. Did you really think they were gonna?
I can't say I'm surprised.
I didn't think they were gonna. Yeah. Maybe Scotty. Dude, Rasheed? No way.
Yeah.
Rasheed was so stoked to get out of this town and get a ring in Detroit.
He'd have been like, oh, you want me to come show up for the celebration? CTC.
CTC, or how
cut
about
that check?
Or how? Yeah, exactly. Show me the money.
Yeah,
show me the money. All right, when we come back, I want to dive into a little bit of baseball for fun. World Baseball Classic rosters are shaping up. I'm really excited about this America team, but don't sleep on these guys. And it's not who you think. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan. Coming up in hour number deuce, got a great surprise for you for the hour of the program. We'll get to Michigan and their big hire. Don't say I told you so, but I'm going to tell you I told you so. We'll have Web Gems as well. You can't count on much, but you can't always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Well, what if I told you I only promised just the one time? Just the one time. The one time. We are going to talk some baseball this week. We're going to do it.
Ooh.
We're going to do it. And I promise I don't want to, like, break down, Murakami signing with the White Sox. I promise I won't do that with you. Although, great deal for them. But I wanted to take a peek at the World Baseball Classic, mostly because I've been a hook, line, sinker on this event ever since its inception.
Baseball stuff!
You got it, baby. Ever since the inception of it, I would love for baseball to somehow create a World Cup-style tournament that actually matters and people actually care about. I know USA has struggled over the years to actually get the top stars to participate. Some of them have, but it feels like the roster from top to bottom hasn't been great. Meanwhile, the Dominican, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Japan, Korea have all done a really, really good job.
Yes.
It feels like, and this is what's really cool about the World Cup is it is a huge honor to play for your team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's country over club always and forever.
Right.
And I was hoping that USA players would start to feel that as well. And don't look now, but it sounds like it. These are guys that have committed for Team USA, and boy, the term 6 to midnight is an understatement right now for this guy when I look at Team USA. Your outfield and left field will be Corbin Carroll. Center field is Pete Crow Armstrong, also known as PCA, with El Capitan in right field. That's Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
That's not a bad outfield.
That's pretty good.
Your infield is looking like It looks like Gunnar Henderson is going to play third despite playing shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles. Why, you ask? Because shortstop will be Bobby Witt Jr. Bryce Terang at second base. Second base is a little low. It's a little shallow pond in the old USA.
Mm-hmm.
And then first base is the polar bear in Pete Alonso. And at catcher, you got the big dumper.
There we go.
That's not so bad, huh?
That's not so bad.
Makes you feel pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Here are your top three starters.
Ooh, do tell.
Tarik Skubal.
I heard he's pretty good.
Paul Skeens.
He's not bad, too.
And Logan Webb.
All righty.
All right. I know Joe Ryan is on the staff, too, of the Minnesota Twins, at least for the Minnesota Twins currently.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes. And I do believe I saw Matt Boyd, who pitched for the Cubs last year, who's pretty solid. Looks like he's getting going. Look, the backup, the like DH potential for USA is Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers.
Gotcha.
Not so bad, huh?
Not so bad.
I'm kind of really into this. I'm kind of really, really, really into this. The problem is I take a look at some of the other people and I just S my pants because I don't know what the hell to do about it. This is the projected starting lineup for the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Ketel Marte at second base leading off.
He's pretty good.
Followed by Fernando Tatis Jr.,
mm-hmm.
Juan Soto, Jose Ramirez, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Rafi Devers, Willy Adames, oh, and at number eight, just a kid named Julio Rodriguez, and number nine, Yanier Diaz, with Manny Machado off the bench.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a murderer's row right there.
That is a murderer's row. Now, the Dominican have had problems in this tournament of it's almost sometimes a little bit like basketball. Like, there's not enough balls on the court for this all-star team to do something.
Like when they built that 1999-2000 Trailblazers team.
Exactly. Funny enough how this comes full circle. And so that's been the thing. Now, my issue with them has always kind of been, what is their pitching staff going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
They could have Framber Valdez, who I love. Sandy Alcantara, who is a Cy Young winner but has had a rough go since his Tommy John and since that Cy Young. So there could be some issues there. Their bullpen was supposed to have their closer be Emmanuel Clase, but you can't sit with us anymore. So that's the problem. But I'm going to preface and get into this final team, the team you should be the most scared about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the team that's won this tournament multiple times.
Japan?
And it's because they got players we know now,
mm-hmm.
but they've also won with players we didn't know,
right,
who are now absolute studs in Major League Baseball. And that is correct. That is the Japanese. Shohei Ohtani has committed. Yusei Kikuchi has committed. Let's see here. I believe...
I didn't say Kikuchi.
I believe... damn, it escapes my brain. The kid from the Cubs. The pitcher. Shota Imanaga.
There we go.
He is supposed to pitch as well. Murakami at third base for them. Lars Nootbaar going to hold down center field again for them. Hiromi Ito, who is a pitcher who is posted, who's going to come over to Major League Baseball. They're saying amazing things about him. He could be great. Murakami broke the home run record last year for the season in Japan. He intends to play, was a big-time contributor in 2023. There's something about this Japan team. It's kind of like what we thought about Cuba when Cuba first started because of the whole international debacle. We have no idea who these players are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out that all the great Cubans somehow find their way out of Cuba.
Yeah.
And so those teams weren't really great. But the Japanese teams have continued to show us that just because you don't know who these guys are doesn't mean they are going to great. Their ace of their staff will be Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And I don't know if you saw the last three times we saw him. Pretty damn good.
He did pretty good in that World Series.
He did pretty good.
Yeah.
I know the Dodgers are doing everything in their power to make sure Shohei doesn't pitch and hits only. We'll see how that goes. They also don't want Yoshinobu Yamamoto to participate at all. That's going to be a tough sell on him because what the Japanese and the Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans do better than the Americans do is they give an S.
Yeah, man. Well, it looks like, though, the Americans are starting to give an S.
I think so, too, and that's really what I'm hoping for. I love that Aaron Judge signed up. I love that Cal Raleigh signed up.
Mm-hmm.
I love that pitchers signed up because that was the biggest thing is guys are just, oh, I forgot, the USA DH is Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, so yeah.
Yeah.
Another decent little bat there.
I think USA's always had good hitters. You know, Trout's been on this team. Harper's going to be off the bench this year. He's been on this team. There have been guys that have been on Team USA, but it's never been the stud pitchers. And I think a lot of that has to do with the timing of the World Baseball Classic being during spring training.
Mm-hmm.
So pitchers are not really stoked to throw their all
right.
for a quote-unquote non-important tournament.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds like Paul Skenes, Skubal, and Logan Webb think it's an important tournament.
So now, they don't still do baseball in the Olympics, do they?
It's all non-professional. Oh, I don't actually know. They might have taken baseball away.
Yeah.
All I know is they play it like the college game, and I don't watch the college game because I hate that sound.
Right. Well, because I just didn't know if maybe that's part of the reason why, too, you seem to have maybe perhaps a renewed interest from American players to participate in this tournament.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be seen as like an also-ran to the Olympics.
I also think if you see a team that has Fernando Tatis, Juan Soto, Jose Ramirez, Vladdy Guerrero, and Julio Rodriguez, you're like, well, damn, if those guys can play, why can't I?
Right.
Is there not a little bit of pride involved in that?
Absolutely.
And I think that's part of what brings us back to like baseball being this great American thing, because right now baseball means the world in the islands and it means the world in Asia, and USA has kind of let it go by. But I mean, let's take last year. That World Series was absolutely fantastic. Locally around here, semi-locally, the Mariners were a fascinating story.
Mm-hmm.
Cal Raleigh versus Aaron Judge and MVP, you know, Paul Skenes and Tarek Skubal being the future, you know, Randy Johnsons and Greg Maddoxes of the world. Like, baseball's got some really, really nice momentum going right now. And with the World Baseball Classic coming up in 2026, it's your chance to strike while the iron's hot.
Absolutely.
Do it. Market your stars. Market your stars.
So you said it takes place during spring training?
It does.
It's like March.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And that's why teams are like, kill the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Because what if Skubal goes out there and blows his arm out?
Yeah. Well, look, he could do that in spring training, too.
Truth.
So,
truth.
You know, I mean, just treat it like spring training, I guess. But with a touch more on the line.
If ifs and buts were candied nuts, you know. All right.
Merry Christmas.
When we come back, hour number deuce, we got a great surprise for you here coming up. And also, we'll get into Michigan hires Kyle Whittingham and Web Gems as well. Stick around. Hour number deuce is next, 105.1 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.